Right, our readings this morning have been looking at God sending a servant who we know to be Jesus. But in the Isaiah reading, he didn't have a name. But the Isaiah reading talks of a prophecy of this coming servant, this person that God is going to send to bring justice, to help blind people to see and to release captives that are in chains. And I don't think that just means in physical prison either. I think that's probably emotional and spiritual chains too. And he talks about this servant being somebody who he loves and adores, and who his spirit is going to be on, and that Holy Spirit is what is going to empower him to do God's work when he arrives. And then Ali has just read our Matthew reading, where the prophecy is fulfilled. And I'd like you just to picture the scene for a moment. You're in a crowd, a bit like this sort of size, maybe even bigger, and you're on the edge of the desert. It's hot, it's the middle of the day, but you're listening to this man, John the Baptist, who you've heard speak many times, and he's preaching a message which is new. People haven't heard this message before, and he's preaching and he's saying to people, you need to take a good look at yourselves, because you and I have all given in to our selfish ways. We've all turned our backs on God, and we need to turn around and face him. We need to accept we've gone wrong, and we need to turn to him. And the best way to show people we're doing that is by this physical baptism. And John the Baptist was baptizing people in the River Jordan, which is like a symbolic sign. We've had it in church before, and I think we're going to have them again this year. Of people going into the water, almost like in their old dirty clothes, dirty lives. And as they go in, they get washed clean. They come back up as a sign of their fresh start. Yes, they're going to follow and go God's way. And as he's preaching, there's a bit of murmuring going on in the crowd because everyone's chatting a bit like, you know, church. You've got children making noises and all sorts of things going on. But suddenly you're aware that things have gone quiet behind you. And there's a bit of a rustling as the crowd is parting. And as you turn round, you see this one man weaving his way through the crowd to the front. And he doesn't say anything, but the crowd is all sort of shuffling and just making way as he moves forward. And as he goes forward and finally arrives where John is standing, John stops talking. And he's just looking at this man. Everybody is looking at this man. All eyes are on this man. Because there's something different about him. There's something awe-inspiring about him, but you can't quite work out what it is. But John knows. And John says, this is the man I've been talking to you about. When I said somebody's coming who's even bigger than me, this is him. He's here. He's here right now. And he's completely awestruck as well, doesn't know what to say, doesn't know what to do. And then Jesus speaks, because it's Jesus. And he says, I would like you to baptize me. Now that is not what John is expecting. Because John knows that he, of all people, does not need to be baptized. He doesn't need to turn from his old life to follow God. Because he's got nothing to be forgiven for. He's done nothing wrong. And he's already following exactly the will of God in his life. And John sort of stumbles and says, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. I'm not good enough even to undo your shoes or clean your feet. I shouldn't even be standing in front of you. He's completely stunned at this request. But Jesus says, no, John, listen, I need you to baptize me. Please baptize me. And so John obeys Jesus and he does as he's asked. And he takes Jesus into the river. And again, everyone is watching. Now, we've seen in this crowd lots of baptisms before, but again, this is different. Everybody is watching as Jesus goes into the water. And as we heard in the reading, as he comes back up out of the water, it's almost like the heavens break open. And I imagine there's this light. It doesn't say there's a light, but I imagine there's a light. And we hear this voice, and it's a proud dad talking about his boy. And he says, this is my son. This voice booming out. This is my son. Look at him. I love him. And I am so, so pleased with him. And as he's speaking, something happens. It looks a bit like a dove. We're not sure, but it looks like a dove comes and rests on Jesus. God's Holy Spirit resting on him, anointing him, giving him the power and the authority he's going to need to continue and get on with the work he's been set to do. Now, I've often wondered why Jesus did ask to be baptized, because he sort of says, oh, it's to fulfill prophecy or it's to make people right. But I was having to talk on this reading, I was looking up some reasons. And I think one of them actually is this fact that this is one of the few times in the Bible where you see all three bits of the Trinity all in one place. You've got God the Father, the proud dad, who actually loves us so much that he's willing to give up this son that he loves dearly and send him down to earth. You've got God the Son, Jesus, coming along into our world, giving up all the glories of heaven, knowing what he's come for. Because as we've seen on the crib and we've sung about a king being born, he's come for one purpose. And he didn't come on a chariot and with guns blazing and an army behind him. God sends his rescue plan, his king, as a tiny, fairly helpless little baby into a very smelly stable to an ordinary girl, nothing special about her at all, except that she says yes to God's request. But he's come for one purpose, and that is to die for us. And then finally, we've got God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who settles on Jesus as a dove. But in fact, he settles on each of us too, if we invite him. And he is like God's presence within us always. So we have that Trinity, which is just an amazing picture to imagine. But we also have, I think, the fact that in this instance, it's one of the first times when what Jesus is publicly declared. John says, I know who this man is. And this is what he says in the Message Bible. It's just before the reading we had. He's talking about himself, and then he says, the real action comes next. The main character in this drama. Compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. He will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. And I think that's the other key for the baptism. It's almost like when you're physically baptized in water, that's a physical sign. But when you come to Jesus, that's your spiritual baptism. Because as you go to him, he takes your old life and he gives you a new life and he fills you with his Holy Spirit so you can live this new life following him, turning from the old to the new. Our third reading today, we're not actually going to read, but it's from Acts, and Helen's going to come up in a minute and explain to you. Jesus has died and gone up to heaven, and he sent his disciples out to spread the news about him. And that, up to this point, the people all think that this message is just for the Jewish people. It's just for them and them only, the chosen people, as in the Old Testament. But then Peter gets a call from God. God's Holy Spirit moves within him, and it moves within a man called Cornelius, who's an outsider. He's captain of the Italian guard. He's definitely not Jewish, so this message can't be for him. But suddenly it is, and God says, actually, I want to open this up. It's not just for the Jews, it's for absolutely everyone, no matter where you've come from, what you've done, what colour you are, what race you are, where you live, doesn't matter. This message is for everyone. And he sends Peter along to explain what Jesus came to do. And Cornelius gets all his friends, all his relations, everyone he can think of into his house to hear this message. And I'm going to invite Helen up now. I think the children, you probably need to come up the front for this bit because Helen is going to show you. I'm going to hand over to Helen.
Is that okay? Yeah. Brilliant. So if you all come down so you can see, because I've got a very special arrow here. Can you see that? I'll stand up here so everyone else can see. Because my arrow shows the way to God. If I turn it this way around. And if I turn it this way around. There we go. So like Mandy was saying, we got the story that this is a message that Jesus, this was Jesus' message. And that we need to tell people, because God created the world and he made humankind, and they knew God, But they stop listening to God and they turn their back on him. And people ever since have turned this way and that way, away from God. But sometimes people listened, like Isaiah and the other prophets. And they heard from God. We heard a bit from Isaiah earlier, didn't we? And they shared it with others, so that others would know God too. Sometimes they listened, but sometimes they didn't. But God had a master plan to bring everyone back to him. And he showed signs to Isaiah, and he sent messengers like John the Baptist. And they showed the way to him. And this all pointed towards, can anyone tell me what's over there? Anyone know? Michelle? The stable where Jesus was born. So who's the special part in the stable? Jesus! We celebrate his birth at Christmas. So all of God's signs point the way to Jesus. Because Jesus just isn't any baby, but he has God come down to bring us back to him again. And Jesus didn't stay a baby, but he grew up. And he went round many places to many people, always showing the way to God. He healed the sick, let the blind see, he calmed storms. Whatever he did, it was always pointing the way to the Father. But more than that, he was more than just showing the way to God. Jesus is the way to God. Because you see, he came to die on a cross. And he stretched open his arms of love to hear. And to hear. So that we can be forgiven and that we can know God as we are created to. And Jesus' death on the cross wasn't the end of the story, but rather the beginning of a new one. Because on Easter morning, Jesus didn't stay dead, but he rose to life again. And then he ascended into heaven. And he left us with this message: to go everywhere and tell everyone about him. So that everyone, no matter where they are from, where they live, what they have done, that everyone can know our amazing God. And what's even better news than that, is we're not left to do it on our own, but God's Holy Spirit comes with us, and he is with us and helps us wherever we go to share God's love. So we can all be like these arrows. We can all show the way to God. See, the things that we do and the things that we say, we can choose whether we can love people, encourage them, make them happy, point the way to Jesus. Or we can choose if we're not very nice, if we might make people sad. So whatever we do, we can always show the way to God. And that is the message that Peter shared. Because that is the good news, that is the gospel of Jesus.